we present My Music. A musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreiber. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
With no support whatever from the Arts Council, we bring you John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, and Dennis Norton. And to keep order, our bunny mother, Leonie Lawson. And we begin with some beginnings and endings. John, what begins like this and ends like this?
Slavonic dance.
Yes.
Dvořák.
Yes, the first of them in C, actually, from the Opus 46 set. Yes, Dvořák's Slavonic dance number one. I must tell you, I was charmed to read somewhere that Dvořák, very much the innocent countryman, on a visit to London, went on an early morning walk, and he came upon the posh Athenaeum Club to the corner of Pall Mall. Taking it for a cafe, he walked in, ordered a cup of coffee, and was duly thrown out when they found he wasn't a member. Poor nice old daughter. Frank, your turn. What begins like this and ends like this?
Our song.
Yes. Playing our song. That's right, yes. Every edition, in short, of My Music, yes. Ian, what begins like this? And ends like this.
One of the most inspiring operas ever written by an old-age pensioner. Yes. Because I think I'm right in saying that Verdi was over 80 when he composed Falstaff. And I have one little reminiscence about Falstaff performing the part of Pistola for Scottish opera a good many years ago. And when we were rehearsing it, they had in those days a very splendid chorus master called Arthur Oldham, who was a very candid man, very direct. And I came into a rehearsal of one of the scenes just in time to hear him say to the chorus, "Now you're supposed to get that lead from Ian Wallace, and he'll get it wrong at every performance, so you better learn it without him." And I said, "I heard that." As a matter of fact, he was right.
Dennis, your turn. What begins like this?
And now the purple dusk of twilight time.
And doesn't end like this.
Of the years gone.
That's clever. You've got two records there, did you?
No.
You had two different singers.
No, that's one record, but what begins like that and doesn't end?
Oh, I see what you mean. Yes,
yes,
yes. It doesn't end in the sense that it's not the end of the song.
Yes, that's
it's
right.
It's the end of the chorus. It's the end of the verse. For a moment, how does Starla say?
The chorus is "Sometimes I wonder."
Yeah, I know, but how does it end?
The whole of the Stardust of the Days Come. I don't know.
Yeah, anyway. Well, for a moment, I thought would have been cleverer to have done that, but nevertheless.
Nevertheless.
It was a tricky question, yes. It's Sinatra, but what nerve, what confidence to just sing the verse.
Just so that somebody knows what we're talking about, Frank Sinatra recorded the verse only of Hoagie Carmichael's Stardust and never actually got to the chorus. He just recorded the verse and then stopped. Others sing the chorus. He just sings the verse on that one.
What a marvelous verse.
Yes. Better than most choruses. Yeah.
Five notes. The five notes which begin, for instance, Richard Rogers' tune, Sing for Your Supper. But they're also found at the start of other themes or songs. For example, John, where did I find this?
I think you found it in a book.
I found it in a work, though.
In a work? You found it in a work where the composer is either Chinese or trying to imitate Chinese music.
I didn't play... Little pentatonic tune by a folksy composer.
Oh, wait a mo. That begins to sniff a little bit like Vaughan Williams or something.
Yes, that's right. All right, let's work your way towards it. Vaughan Williams doesn't sound very Cockney tuned to me.
Vaughan Williams' Chinese symphony.
Chinese takeaway.
a half a mock, I think, don't you, for Vaughan Williams?
Vaughan Williams was an inspired guest.
Well, it gets you half a mock. It's from the first movement of the London Symphony.
Well, I did say Chinese symphony, didn't I?
Yeah, and I did say not much of a Cockney tune. Anyway, same notes. Frank, whose signature tune was this? Very much like a song called A Journey to the Star.
The great Ted Heath.
Yes, that's right. It's Ted Heath. It was called Listen to My Music. Ted wrote it himself. That's right.
Lives near me for a while.
Ian, an overture. Whose overture to what?
Oh, yes. I know that one. Donna Diana.
Yes, Donna Diana sat at the piano and played the Greek piano concerto. The
Never heard that.
Nobody's ever heard that before.
Oh, really? I thought it was quite... Because you get these things sometimes that orchestral players sing when they're playing something.
Donna Diana, did you give me the composer?
No, I can't.
Reznicek.
Reznicek,
yes. But Donna Diana is right.
Yes.
Dennis, title and composer, same five-note start, but this time in 3/4 time instead of in 3/16.
And so on. Forget the time, James.
Very familiar, isn't it?
Yes.
Is it generally heard without the vocal? I think of it as
very much an instrumental.
Is it David Rose?
David Rose wrote it, yes.
I don't know what it's called. It's a David Rose tune.
David Rose, formerly married to Judy Garland.
I can't find where the lyrics or the title fit in the music.
You've got the half mark to match John's. Our Love by David Rose. Right, let's press on. My doctor, in his younger days, was the leader of the National Youth Orchestra of Great Britain. So in addition to treating us patients, he could, if he thought it helpful, play to us on his violin. Question, what should he play? A fiddle-playing doctor. Now, I'm open to suggestions from anybody. Dennis is writing. John, any idea?
Well, at home we used to sing a little ditty that went, "It'll never get well if you pick it." "It'll never get well if you pick it." I mean, the words are a bit monotonous. That's roughly how it went. Yes.
Surely that's a union song.
Frank.
I think a rather triste number on the violin. The treatment's over, but the malady lingers on.
Yes. I'll pass these on to him eventually. Ian, any ideas?
Rather sort of unhelpful ones from the doctor's point of view. If somebody with a sprained ankle, he might play I'm Dancing with Tears in My Eyes.
Yes.
And if he had a patient who was suffering from psychosomatic illness, he might play I've Got a Feeling You're Fooling.
Yes. He'd probably like to play that quite often, I think. Dennis.
No, why I was writing, because when you said you have a doctor who's was a leader of the National Youth Orchestra, I had an experience with a doctor who had another profession. I was working in Rome once, and I got a poisoned foot, and I was working in a film studio, and the nearest doctor was also the vet. And he had to give me an injection in this rather painful foot. So while he did it, he went, pss, 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 which is apparently what you do to horses to gentle them, I think, the phrase, to stop me rearing up.
That was clearly a case of Fiddler on the Hoof.
Yeah.
I never go to a Dr. Dennis whose initials after his name says M.D. Oxen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh dear. You remember Frankie Howard said he always went to see his doctor in the afternoon to give his hands time to warm up.
Yeah, that kind of logic. I love that kind of logic. I had a very good one the other day. That if you are in a strange town, you go into a barber shop, always choose the barber with the worst haircut. Why? Because they all cut each other's hair.
The other ones are better.
Isn't that good?
Yes. Absolutely faultless. Yes. Yeah. Good bit of wisdom. Remember, you heard it first here. Right. 25 seconds of music coming up, and then I'm going to ask John to identify the composer and Frank to place the introduction. Genius idea by Mike Sams for his singing group. John, the composer.
I just asked Frank who it's by, and he said, well, it's a classic.
The world, isn't it?
Yeah. Who would you say?
I think it's one of Schoenberg's, isn't it? Arnold Schoenberg.
Arnold Schoenberg. Yeah. What, I'm always chasing rainbows.
Well, he got a sort of a surprise out of you. No, I don't know who the hell it is.
Oh, do. Da, da,
da, da, da. It's no good playing it to me.
Oh, it is.
That wasn't what they played.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was.
Dollied up a bit.
Dollied up a bit.
Yes.
So give me nerf, doll to the nine.
So give me a composer then.
Oh, well, it's Chopin.
Yes, it's from the... if it is Chopin, actually, it's very like an earlier impromptu by Moscheles. And as you probably know, this Chopin copied it out, but he didn't want it published, and it's possible that he didn't write it himself, didn't make it up himself. Anyway, it's from the Fantasy Impromptu in C-sharp minor. Frank, that introduction, though, was borrowed from...
Well, to me,
yes.
It's I'm singing
yes,
in the rain.
That's right. Gene Kelly. Film, we know it from, although it actually appears on the original song copy, that introduction.
Yeah. Cliff Edwards sang it in a film in 1929, and it also has that bum-bidum.
Yes, but for him,
that's right, yeah.
That's with Chopin, it's singing on the sands.
Well, Georgie's got it.
Still with the same Mike Sams singers LP, here's a track for Ian and Dennis to listen to.
At the end of the day, for a moment or two, all my thoughts fly away as I sit here with you. Through the thrills and the nights of those long summer nights, a night when love was new.
Ian, what was it originally?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that.
Yes.
I'm in the same well, you didn't sort
want to
of
be,
state
you
as
You didn't
John.
Want to be asked what it's called now, did you? Now, what was it?
Sounds like a waltz. It's ballet music.
Yes. Now, give us a composer or a title or something.
Sit down.
Touch of the Delibes, is it?
Yes, Touch of the Delibes, is yes. Delibes.
Delibes.
So it's from one of two ballets, isn't it?
Well, I would, drawing a bow at a venture, I'd say Coppelia.
Coppelia's right. Does he have that? I think he has that mark, yes. The waltz from Coppelia by Delibes. Dennis, what was its title in that later pop version?
I've never heard that. I don't know. I've never heard it.
Have anybody in the audience?
Leonie's heard it. She's nodding. Yes.
What was it called?
You've got it written down in front of you.
Yeah. It was called,
rather originally, it was called So In Love With You.
Oh, Cole Porter wouldn't have liked that, would he?
No, he wouldn't. That's So In Love. Yeah. Just a quick test for the audience. Make sure they're still awake.
If you were the only girl in the world, and I were the only boy.
Friends in the audience, who first sang that and to whom? Yes, George Robey to Violet Lorraine, that's right, in 1916.
And what is more, his George Robey's son told me that his father came back from a rehearsal, an early rehearsal of the show, and he said, I've been given a song to sing. It'll never take. There, he said, apparently Mrs. Robey played the piano. He said, go on, play that for me. And she played, If You Were the Only Girl. Yes. She said, never take, too slow.
But I'll tell you something, I am the only person you'll ever meet in this life who accompanied George Robey in that song.
Really?
I did, just once, at the Nuffield Centre, just after the war. Questions about songs. John, who wrote Six Songs for the Lord Mayor's Table?
That was William Walton.
Yes, for the City of London Festival, 1962. Yes. It was indeed. Frank, which song begins with the words, Let Him Kiss Me? Very old one, an oldie.
Well, it's not a very old language, is it?
Well, it was written originally in another language altogether.
Oh. No, which, I don't know.
Well, which song? Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. It's in the Old Testament. It comes between Ecclesiastes and Isaiah. It begins, Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth.
Of course.
Ian, you have a choice of two. Who composed Songs of Farewell? Songs of Farewell.
Songs of Farewell. No songs of travel.
Two composers very much of the same sort of period. One from Bible texts and the other from Whitman, Walt Whitman.
English composer?
Yes, both. One from Yorkshire, the other not.
One
when I say English,
Yorkshire must
when I say English, I mean British, perhaps, do I? Yes.
You mean born in Dublin?
Yes, I suppose I do. Parry. Yeah. Yes, it was Paris. Yes. So I mean sort of British Isles.
One in Dublin, one in Bradford.
Well, you got Delius for half a mark, didn't you? I helped you.
Well, I think you're very generous because you did say Yorkshire.
See how Dennis gets on. Dennis, who wrote a song of patriotic prejudice?
I was a condescending laugh. Some idiot doesn't know that, the laugh.
Oh dear, we do meet him in this programme, don't we?
Right, golly, you never knew that.
Actually, well, Ian knows. Ian, he's trying to help.
Wait
Ian
a minute. If
know.
Ian knows and John knows, can I venture something? Would it be your friend Michael Flanders?
Yes, that's right.
Thank you.
See, we needn't have gone through all this thespian bit.
No, but it's the art of disguise.
I wouldn't have laughed back then. Yeah.
Wouldn't have known. Who didn't know Chopin?
Yeah.
To the keyboard. From the middle of something familiar, I've chosen a small piece from each for each of you. See if you can continue it and give it a name. John. Thank you. And what is it, pray?
It's Carnival of the Hanimal.
Yes, that's right. It's the Swan.
The Swan.
Yes, that's right.
Frank, not the Flanders, but the Swan.
No, the Swan. The Sea.
Ha, 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 ha.
Frank, I feel I'm running a bit of a risk inviting you to continue this, but here goes.
Forever.
Yes, quite a bit of that.
Yes.
One fine day!
Yes, that's right. Quite right. Quite right.
It was a risk not worth taking, Steve.
Right.
It's not, as they say, my song.
Exactly. Ian, follow that. A straightforward middle bit from a rather peppery sort of song for you.
Frequent occasions on this programme where everybody else knows it except me.
Don't you really know it, Ian? Carry me back to green pastures.
I've never actually sung it. And
well,
now,
Frank's
now
never sung One Fine Day from Madam
Butterfly.
Not till
not public. Only to small private audiences.
Only in his ablutions.
I once worked out that
if
you've ever walked across a green pasture, you'll understand why the guy in the song asked to be carried across it.
why did you say peppery?
Peppery because Harry S. Pepper wrote the song. Dennis, yours is rather more recent, and all I'm giving you is the very last part of the middle bit.
Michelle.
Yes, Mabel. Right,
Lennon and McCartney. That's also, now I can't think, one of those songs. Remember we collected the songs where the accent is on the wrong syllable? It's Michelle, isn't it? Which
yes,
is wrong.
Instead of Michelle.
Michelle,
that's right. Looking at the four final songs this week, they seem to cover resentment, lightheartedness, rejection, and constancy. The resentment is in Frank's song. Why must you be mean?
It's a bit miserable, isn't it? You're mean to me. Why must you be mean to me? Gee, honey, it seems to me you love to see me crying. I don't know why I stay home each night when you say your phone. You don't, and I'm left alone, singing the blues, sighing. You treat me coldly each day of the year. You always scold me whenever somebody is near, dear. It must be great fun to be mean to me. You shouldn't, for can't you see what you mean to me?
So to John, whose lightheartedness and temporary throat trouble leads him not to sing but to whistle. Dvorak's Humoresque.
All right.
I'll give you a note.
Right.
Thank you.
I'll race you.
Rejection seems to be the key word for Dennis's song, which is not one of my favourites. It's called She Don't Wanna.
Oh, I'd like her to be nice and chummy with me, but she don't wanna, she don't wanna. I'd just like her to pet like some others I've met, but she don't wanna, she don't wanna. Oh, I plead and beg for one little kiss, but like hard-boiled egg just sits there like this. We could have so much fun, but it takes more than one. She don't wanna. Steve doesn't like it either.
I think I do like it after all. Constancy is the keynote, well, actually, A-flat is the keynote, to Jimmy Dirrenforth's song, Always, for Ian.
Always, you'll be beside me. Always, your love will guide me in my happy heart forever.
Signing off song, if you like. Just time to tell you about this week's victory, which goes to John Amis and Frank Muir. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, and Dennis North. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Tony Schreiber.